see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. In the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to Watchmen for Jesus Bible Study tonight. My name is Thomas Gambo. I'm the host of this Bible study here on this Friday, the 20th of March, 2015. Welcome. And here we are again. Just finished this afternoon with a broadcast, and here you are. Don't know how many listen to me at the Bible study, even after listening to me for 2 hours in the broadcast. What are you gutting for punishment, huh? Well, tonight, we're going to talk about the Antichrist, end times review, sort of. Those days are coming, and as we're talking today, and we're talking, this week, we see things happening that's not ever happened before, and some things that have happened before, about changes of politics, warnings. Now, they've always had this warnings, but each time it gets closer to the time, more of the events predicted in the Revelation, Daniel, Isaiah, have come true, or capable of coming true. Each time, he is closer and closer. Those trumpets getting ready to blow. I like to look ahead. Plan for the future. It's written for you, too, in the Bible. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and I'm going to talk specifics about the Antichrist and give some clue as to what he might be. No one has ever, nor have they ever, until the time happens, say who it is. There'll be many Christ, Antichrist, all kinds of deception. Can you believe we live in a world like this? How many people live in oblivion that just don't know? You'd like to say, well, maybe we're just all living a fantasy, and maybe the Bible is just a fantasy book. Well, then you go back to the basics. How did we get here in the first place? And here it starts. Without life formed. That it had to have some kind of start with someone that with some intelligence that we can't see. Then you start determining who that could be. You come up with all kinds of gods and so forth. And then as you go along, all of them are eliminated from the day they're created. Yeah, the day the gods are created, you start eliminating them, like Buddha, Muhammad, or Allah. As soon as you identify them, they're eliminated. Do you get to one? God of the Bible. You find is eternal. And the same thing with the Bibles. Exact same thing. All the Bibles you identify, once you identify their origin, eliminates that Bible. You get the King James, you can trace it, this translation stream, to Antioch, the first century. And you find out that all the Bibles come from that. Antioch. Then you trace it further, you'll find that the scrolls of Antioch, that's the basis of the King James Bible, come from the originals. The disciples themselves. And you go from there. Long story short. So when you trace them back to their origin, you identify, then that eliminates that God or that Bible. You'll find that the King James stands alone. You'll find that God of the Bible stands alone. And all the others have copied God of the Bible. Everything from the flood to Queen Mary and whatever. Or Mary whatever, and you got the point. All the way around. Well, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and we're going to talk about the Antichrist tonight. And I think we're very close to that point of the real one showing up. And a great deception. I've always played with that idea of the great deception until one day it came to my mind about the extraterrestrial lie and Sananda Emmanuel, the false prophet. Ascended masters, as they call New Age movement and so forth. And it started making sense of how the great deception would take place. So we'll dedicate the broadcast and let's get started. Lord, thank you tonight. Father, we come together. In your study for the final in this week, that Lord, you lead us tonight again. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, to give us that wisdom discernment, discern the scriptures, to understand the end times events as they approach. We pray, Lord, tonight also about our families. We pray for those that, Lord, are in search of jobs that we've been asked to pray for. Lord, for understanding and others that that teach and preach that, Lord, that sometimes people are deceived. And Father, for those that are not teaching the truth, Lord, there are those out there that you expose them and put them on the right track. Father, we thank you for the King James Bible. We thank you, Lord, for sometimes, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunities you give to make amends of our past. And Father, we can give forgiveness on both sides. We clean up that debt that we have left to clean up before those days come. We know, Father, you give us those opportunities and positions, situations that we can forgive others and, Father, to ourselves to clean our debt that we owe to others. Debt of gratitude, a debt of maybe unforgiveness that we need to clear up before that day comes. We pray, Lord, for next week. We pray that you'll guide us in the Bible studies and the broadcast, that you'll open up eyes that will expose the truth from all the deception that's going on today. We pray for those in need of prayers. We pray for that family that lost that child this past week of in that horrific accident, horrific attack. We pray for those, Lord, that are being targeted, that, Lord, you guide them the right way and protect them. And, Lord, in all these things we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. You can see that when those that are going to be saints, those that accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, are taken up in the rapture, whenever it may be, nobody knows when, they'll go through the judgment seat of Christ. Some will receive rewards, some won't. But at least they were saved by the fire. No rewards, but they're in heaven. Doesn't mean everybody's going to heaven is going to get a reward. None of it is about getting a reward. It's about doing the will of the Father. What's all about? Doing the right thing. But those that receive rewards, become the saints, then they celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb, will return with Jesus. And they'll rule with him. Did you know that Freemasons are taught the same thing? That the occult, witchcraft are taught the same thing? Well, here's the point that I'm driving toward. What happened before the flood? The angels that were supernatural couldn't understand after a while from the lust blinded them. They couldn't understand why they should help these puny humans. Well, you saw it. You read what happened there. They lust took over and they intermingled with the daughters of man, intermingled, slept with, in other words, more or less raped, created Nephilim because of their extraordinary DNA. We're not supposed to mix DNA. Created giants. 1,550 years of this, a whole millennium. Flood wiped them out, except for the fallen angels. Of course, they're supernatural. After Nimrod began again, the watchers came down. And in the meantime, there's angels that's in prison that God chained them. The third of the angels that fell with Satan in the war we just hear about, but there's no real details. I mean, there's details in certain other books, which I'm not even going to mention, because the other books are corrupt, but they have some truth. But for me to mention them then endorses them, and I'm, nah. And so, the watchers to teach man now in his new environment after the flood, again, fell for the lust of the flesh, intermingled with women. But knowing how the DNA was manipulated, created more of a hybrid human being, but what I call bubble heads. The elongated heads. Pharaohs. Pharaohs of Egypt. Leadership of that era. Were the hybrids. Copper-based DNA. Carbon-based DNA of the human. Copper-based DNA of the hybrids that took physical form. On earth, they had to have a physical body. In heaven, they don't. Entertain strangers unaware. For some you do not know may be angels sent to test you, give you a message, an epiphany or something. Then they go back to heaven, supernaturally. But the fallen angels, different story. Second heaven in the universe is where they reside, in the planets. There's your so-called, quote-unquote, aliens. Are fallen angels. These orbs of light that keep making changing colors are changing frequencies constantly. The orbs of light are the fallen angels, and demons are little specks of light. That's all they are. But they're energy with certain frequencies that equal what they're there for. That's what your soul is also. Your soul is contained within the brain with your spirit connection of the silver cord is your spirit connection. Unfortunately, the occult, the New Age, and so forth have identified this and given other names, manipulated it. So these fallen angels in energy form are located on the planets. The planets have been given names to worship the fallen angels. Same thing for the days of the week. Months of the year. That's what the holidays are for. Oh, wow, you see. Days of the week all equal a certain high level fallen angel. So on that day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Wednesday is Mercury, you're worshiping that fallen angel. Holidays. All of it. What it's about. Not about God. Not about Jesus. Everything. Every holiday. The Bible says in the New Testament, let no man judge you for meat or holiday or the Sabbath or birthday. None of that. None of it. You say, well, isn't God kind of egotistical to want to be worshipped? Okay. What if you don't worship God, the actual creator? Who are you going to worship? You ever heard of humanism? Humanism means you worship yourself. If you worship yourself, then you have something higher, like a fallen angel, you can worship them. It's all bogus. There's only one God that created us. So it's all about worship of God. Our whole lives. Whole eternity. Because if you don't worship him, we worship ourselves, and that's certainly bogus. That's what humanism is all about. A little light talk on a Friday afternoon. We can all ignore it. Go to some place and watch a basketball game, I guess. Certainly you need to rest times, but let your mind rest, but it just takes a lot of mental energy to talk about it and think about it and work it out and discuss it and all that. But in the millennium and in the Garden of Eden, these days, these times, it's what we're created for, to worship God, help each other, build, worship, love, care. That's what we're there for. Not so I can climb Mount Everest and say I was there. Or win a car race and make a whole lot of money, which is going to disappear anyway. And I got a trophy. Trophy sits up there and collects dust. That's what it does. And I brag about it. And take a picture of it and kiss it every night before I go to bed. Take it out with me. My wallet. Look what I got. Look. I don't know you. I don't care. Look at this. Look. What is that? I won a Southern 500. You did, yeah, 5 years ago. See, look. It's like, who's this guy? We worship ourselves. That's what we do. The Antichrist is no different. He's an angel of high standard at one time that wants to be worshipped like God. What's going to happen when Jesus comes? He'll come secretly to take his church sometime out of the world. He removed this restraining spirit, restrainer. You ever had, yeah, I make this ginger tea. I like it. I'm getting addicted to it. It's good. Ginger tea, lemon, honey, whatever. And I'd use a real ginger root. A real ginger root. I cut it up, and I cut it in enough to make a tablespoon of ginger. It's about the size of my thumb, I guess. And then I'll take a nice sharp knife, and I'll cut off the skin. Then I'll start boiling some cold water, put it on the stove, and then I'll take a shredder and shred the ginger over the water as it cold. Then I turn on the heat. So then when it boils, it's starting to seep and so forth. But when I'm done with it, I let it seep after it's boiled for a couple minutes, and then I'll pour it back into the cup with a strainer. With a strainer. Now, imagine if I take the strainer, turn it upside down, and put it over top of the cup, and then I pour my boiling water and the fragments of ginger in there from going through the strainer, I get nothing but liquid. And the restrainer, you got it now? The strainer would then keep the ginger from falling into the tea cup, where one would have to eat all those pieces of ginger. But now what would happen if I just said, I don't need that, it's too much trouble, I just take the whole pot and pour it in a cup, and I got, I'll be spitting out ginger the whole time I'm drinking the cup of tea. Well, think of those ginger parts as demons. And the cup is you. So with the strainer on top, the ginger don't get in the cup. But now you remove that strainer, demons are going to come through there fully. That's kind of how it is with the restraining spirit of God. Is he's going to move that strainer out of the way. And those demons are going to go through people like hot knife through butter. It's not going to be nice. It's going to get ugly. Very, very ugly. Hadn't happened yet. Sometimes some ginger gets through there. Because you let it. Because we sin. We accept it. We do things where the hole is in that strainer. And a demon gets through. That's kind of an analogy. But when a rapture happens, that whole strain is taken away. And there ain't nothing but ginger coming through. That's what's going to happen. The rapture, God removes that restraining Holy Spirit. Every believer will be caught up to meet the Lord. Dead in Christ will rise first. Then the bodies follow. Will be translated into a supernatural body to join up with the soul. With all the born-again Christians gone, it'll be a world without decency and restraint. Evil and wickedness will abound as never before. You're just getting it. We're just getting a taste of it in the news today. Just getting an idea of all these things you're hearing and you're seeing. And the more we turn away from God, the bigger that hole is getting. That's why you see more and more each day. The more you have homosexual marriage being approved, abortion being approved, no more laws against it, child euthanasia, and all these things happening, it gets thinner and thinner and thinner. Evil begins. So you're just getting a taste of what it's going to be like when, can you imagine what's going to be like here when God removes that restrainer completely? Well, this period of time, then can only an extraordinary man will appear on the earth. He'll possess great leadership ability, marvelous powers. He'll even be able to call down fire from heaven. But his power will not come from God. His power will come from Satan. The Bible calls this man the Antichrist. You see, the word anti means against. Nimrod was a warrior before God. What that means, in the days of Nimrod, he was a man against God. I'm before you. I'm in your face kind of reference. Well, anti is the same thing. Now, through deceit and miraculous powers, Satan's Antichrist will gain control of the whole world. That means they will have to have all the nations come together. And that's called the world unions. Therefore, when you start seeing about the North American Union, South American Union, Scandinavian Union, European Union, you know you're close. You see, the League of Nations was setting the model. United Nations is laying the groundwork. And each period or age, going back to Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, Alexander, the Roman Empire, was every attempt of Satan to set up a world government, not knowing when Jesus was coming. Because, see, Jesus is coming soon. How soon? You're not going to know. But he's coming soon. How soon? It's going to happen. Just be ready. You see what's happening? God keeps them on the edge every day, every second. They can never sleep. They can never stop. They must never let go. They must always keep moving. And then their human servers die. So they must keep more. That's why they use a family bloodline. Oh man, people knew what's going on. That's what's going on today. Six attempts of the revival of the Roman Empire. Charles Maine, Louis XIV, Charles V, Napoleon, were all attempts of Satan to set up an Antichrist. Hitler, it never happened yet. That's what this history is all about. That's what's going on for real. And the world's not getting it. They look at it from a humanistic point of view. They don't see that Satan, waiting for that time, waiting. I got to have, okay, he's going to die. This one, Louis XIV, is going to die. I got to bring this guy up. Napoleon comes up. Well, I got to bring his guy up. Maybe this will be the one. He's always got to have somebody ready to take that spot. 1940s, 1928, 29. Got another one. Adolf Hitler, born April 19th. A very interesting year or month. Interesting month, April 19th. Blood sacrifices every April 19th. Mass murders. That's a human sacrifice day. And Hitler just happened to be born on it. Are you getting how much this involves our lives and our history? It consumes our entire world history. Massive implications that people aren't really understanding. Only then, the Antichrist will gain control of the world. Well, no one will be able to buy or sell without his mark. He'll set up a great image. He'll require people to worship him and his image. Those who refuse will be killed, including atheists. Atheists don't know this yet. They don't know. You know it already. They don't know yet. That's why they're being used right now against Christians. That's why all the other anti-Jesus religions and movements are being used against Christians. Born-again Christians, that is. And then when that's done, then they're going to warn the next, they're going to use them against each other. Atheists will be required to worship Lucifer. I don't believe in this Lucifer. So we got rid of God, now you got Lucifer? I don't believe in him. You're going to die. Right now they can afford just to say, I don't believe him. They do that then. It's not going to be the same thing. And you know the first part of the Antichrist's reign will be a time of great prosperity on earth. The entire earth at one time. And this will last about 3.5 years or so, give or take. And then will come a time of great trouble and distress as God will pour out his wrath on a wicked, Christ-rejecting world once and for all. He did it on the flood. He's going to do it by fire this time. But this seven trumpets, it's called the Great Tribulation. So in that first 3.5 years, there'll be a war. Maybe in the first year, maybe a year and a half, don't know when. They'll lead to famine, pestilence. Now what's really kind of confusing, a tad bit, is around the fifth seal is what's called souls under the altar. Those who follow Christ will be beheaded. Now, does this mean that the rapture is later, mid-trib? Or does this mean that those who rejected him will now realize it in the first 3.5 years? Uh-oh, we made a boo-boo. And then accept him as their Savior then? But then they have to go through the persecution? It doesn't say, really. It doesn't say. It just says there will be those who will die for Jesus during the 7 years. Then there will be a cry in heaven. How much longer is this going to last? Well, now that means there's another group up there. Interesting, isn't it? Well, about the sixth seal, it begins. Sun darkens, the earth darkens like a eclipse of sort. The moon then will be blood red, not a pink color, but the real one blood moon, not four. It's nonsense. Earthquake that will shake the entire earth. Now, what would happen? Let's a little analysis here. No light. The moon's going to be affected. Great earthquake. Family, you will not have technology anymore. Man, they'll be using bows and arrows. Refrigerators will turn off. Lights will go off. No computer. What are they going to do? They ain't going to call Ghostbusters. Won't work. Won't have a telephone. And so, then begins a period of silence after a lot of death. Destruction. A period of silence. And that would make sense, wouldn't it? You ever looked outside when the power just goes off in the neighborhood? It's silent. Everything's quiet. That's what it would be like. ELF transmission? None. Telephone? None. Television? None. Nothing. But what in the world? Silence. What's going on? I don't know. Something happened. And then will come the first trumpet of the angels. Not the trump of God, it's different. But the first trumpet of the seven angels will sound. And boy, let me tell you what. For another 3.5 years from that point will be God's wrath on this earth. First trumpet to the seventh. And don't get nothing but worse after that. Then comes the vials, the seven vials of wrath of God. Upon who? Who's left? Some humans, the ones trying to hide, the elite, the armies. But the transhuman, supernatural armies left. Giants, called the Metropolitans, coming out. Nephilim will come out, as in the days of Noah. They'll come out of the caverns, in Middle Earth, caverns, wherever they are, will be released upon this earth, destroy all mankind. Plus the other events of the seven trumpets, which I'm not going to go into those details, but I've done this before, but you can find it. It's in the book of Revelation. In the meantime, you're not here if you're born again. And the seventh vial of the seventh trumpet, seventh vial, the last one, the Battle of Armageddon, 200 million transhumanized beings, not Chinese, not Russian. The real Armageddon is a supernatural army against Jesus Christ. And that won't last but enough for as long as Jesus gives a command and it's over. And they'll fight and kill each other. Psalms 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked. And then they'll be removed. False prophet. I don't want to leave out the two witnesses that will bring these calamities upon the earth against the Antichrist. The angel that flies above with the trumpet. 144,000 of the Jews that will come out of nowhere. These are ways that people will be saved. Or preach or bring the plagues and the events. The two witnesses. There's a lot I've left out, but this is the basic. The Antichrist will have his hands plenty full. The Bible says that this time there'll be disturbances. Heaven's sun turned black, the moon will turn blood red, the earth be plagues, diseases, earthquakes, and famines. Diseases, earthquakes, famines, one third of the inhabitants of the world be killed. You'll think people will repent about then, right? They won't. They'll just curse God. The Bible also says, because they received not the love of truth, they might believe or might be saved. God will send them a strong delusion. They should believe a lie. They all be damned who believe not the truth, who had pleasure in unrighteousness. And then following all these events, following after them, of the great tribulation, the Lord Jesus, and the day of the Lord, then the Lord Jesus will return to earth in great power and glory, and will destroy his enemies. He did it once, he's going to do it again. Now this Antichrist guy, this old fella, Satan incarnated. His opportunity, and the last one, he'll start doing his reigning. Is that what they call him, the Rain Man? I don't know. Some people say it's Obama. But first, he's got to be liked by everybody. So that knocks him out, as it does most everybody else. They're really trying their best to make Obama look like the Antichrist and the false prophet to be the Pope. That right there in itself tells him not. It's all distraction. Who is this Antichrist? Well, if I get through some of this, let's see. The Antichrist will be a man. And the 10 horns, 10 unions, out of the kingdom, or 10 kings, shall arise. And another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think a change of times and laws, and they shall be given to his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. You got that? That's in Daniel 7:24. Y'all. That's southern for y'all. Genesis 7:24. You find that a mite confusing? A little bit. That's why it's called Bible study. Daniel 7:24. Daniel, not Genesis. Daniel 7:24. Let me turn to it and look at it. In 7:20, 1922, we're talking there about the fourth beast. And the 10 horns, and the other horn which fell, before the 3 fell. He saw the little horn, making war with the saints in the tribulation period. Well, see, there's interesting, because they're still here. That'd be during that first 3.5 years. That means the rapture could be before the first trumpet, which would make sense, actually. Until the Ancient of Days come, ended in suffering and gave to the kingdom. Well, the unnamed interpreter explained the fourth beast, the 10 horns, and the pompous little horn. The little horn is going to blaspheme the Most High. He will persecute the saints and intend to change the Jewish calendar to 3.5 years. He'll be stripped of his power, and the glorious everlasting kingdom of our Lord will be ushered in. Now, Daniel 7:24-25. That's a time and time and a half, three and a half years. That's what that refers to. He'll confirm a covenant for 7 years. Daniel 9:27. Now, also, it doesn't mean that he creates this covenant. The word here for confirm is 1,396 years. And it's a primitive root to be strong by implication, to be prevail, exceed, confirm, be great, be mighty, prevail, put this more, strengthen, to be strong, valiant. A Jerusalem covenant, or a new covenant drawn up at that time. They're trying to make it look like it's happening already. Obama signs a covenant with Israel. Or somebody else in Russia signs a covenant with Netanyahu. They're trying to fake it. Daniel 9, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Even before, until even the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And he will also rise among kings, among 10 kings, Daniel 7:8. The 10-nation union will be revived Holy Roman Empire, Daniel 2:44. And Daniel 7, verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them a little horn, before whom there were 3.5 horns plucked up by the roots. Behold, in a horn were eyes like the eyes of man, a mouth speaking great things. Daniel 7, 8. The fourth beast would be powerful, destructive, was different from all the others, but had some of their bestial characteristics. So he describes it in the scriptures as dreadful, terrible, exceedingly strong, and huge iron teeth. What this talks about, iron and clay, the Roman Empire. And see, that would have followed, as I've spoken about before, the Grecian Empire would cease, then after a considerable space of time, would be revived. It's in this revised form that then it would have the 10 horns, 10 unions, 10 kings, and a little horn. The little horn would be the 7 and the Antichrist. Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up his kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms and shall stand forever. He'll uproot 3 kings from the original 10 kings to gain political power. Daniel 7:8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them a little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. That seems like the 3 of the kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, and Alexander. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now this 10-nation union will merge into a world government, which he will dominate. In Revelation 13, 1 and 2, this also could refer to several things. The first 10 nations could merge into an existing world government, which we believe. Or it could be something like the 10-nation common stock market. I believe it's going to be one government. Revelation 13:1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns. 10 horns are 10 regions. 10 unions. And the 7 horns, 7 heads, is a revived Holy Roman Empire. Upon his horns, 10 crowns. Upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were the feet of a bear, a mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. Revelation 13:1. Now, there's a lot of symbology, obviously. And in this one, in the book of Revelation, we're talking about two great beasts. I'm not talking about Godzilla or Mithra. Now, one beast rises up out of the sea, one out of the earth, or land, that is, in the land of Israel. There's no doubt that these beasts symbolizes men who were playing prominent roles during the tribulation period. So they combine the features of the four beasts of Daniel. That's where that comes from. So the first beast is the head of the revived Roman Empire. They'll exist in a 10-kingdom form. He rises out of the sea, which means a type of Gentile nations. He has 10 horns. So Daniel here predicted that the Roman Empire would be revived in a 10-kingdom form. From what we had this past week in broadcast and talking about the Union Nations, boy, that sounds really close. He has 7 heads. In Revelation 17:9, 10 of these are said to be 7 kings. It's a possible reference to 7 different types of rulers or stages of the empire. He has 10 diadems on his horns. And these speak of the power to rule, which given him by the dragon, which is Satan. A blasphemous name on it. Makes claims for himself and as if he were God and not a mere man. So the beast is like a leopard, his feet like a bear and his mouth like a lion. So in Daniel 7, the leopard symbolizes Greece. The bear is a type of Medo-Persia. And the lion, it goes backwards, represents Babylon. In that order, it's going backwards. The revived Roman Empire resembles its predecessors in that swift to conquer like a leopard, powerful as a bear, and greedy as a lion. So, in short, it combines all of the evil features in this preceding world empires in this one. The empire, as ruler, receives supernatural strength from Satan himself. Now the beast, and here we go. The beast, remember, has a mortal wound in one of his heads. Now, Schofield, you ever heard of Schofield? He explains, I quote, "Fragments of the ancient Roman Empire have never ceased to exist as separate kingdoms. It was the imperial form of government which ceased. The one head wounded to death, the deadly wound is healed. In other words, the empire is revived with an emperor as its head, namely the beast." Do we start to see that happening today, or a possibility of it happening? They're trying to say that the revived, or the head wound, is one of the leaders getting shot in the head and he comes back to life. That's not it. It's a nation that comes back to life. It was dead. That's the Roman Empire. Killed from inside, head wound. revived. He revives from the head wound to rule. We saw them together in France when they were marching in quote-unquote solidarity against the so-called terrorists. That was pretty much the Roman Empire right there on those photographs of Merkel in the middle and all the rest of them, Netanyahu. A peace covenant. Oh. The beast is worshipped by men. He'll perform, he will ascend in power in a platform of peace. And by peace, he'll destroy many. Daniel 8:25. And though his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace, shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. It's Michael, archangel. He shall be broken without hand. Well, there's so much to this. That's definitely not Obama. I may have to cover this now again next week. I put a marker there. We're coming into the program tonight. I got like 46 prophecies of the Antichrist. 46. I think God might want us to know, huh? If you put 46 in there about the Antichrist, he put 365 for coming Jesus Christ, or the Messiah, later to be found out was the name of Jesus in the New Testament. 365 prophecies. And Jesus fulfilled over 80 or 90% of them. Jesus hadn't fulfilled them all yet, because he's not here yet. Those are yet to be fulfilled. See, but he fulfilled everything else right down to the detail. A calculus, somebody in math or whatever, calculated the odds of 365 prophecies. And one man fulfilling just 7 of them exactly, which Jesus Christ did very well. He calculated the number of dollars. Silver dollars. How many silver dollars it would take to cover the entire state of Texas 2 foot thick. The entire state. And then take one red one and drop it anywhere in the state of Texas. And then put somebody there, drop them somewhere. And in the first try, picking out the red one. He said the odds is just 7. Of these prophecies coming true in one person was that great. Oh my. Well, families of Friday, y'all. Nobody's going to know who it is. Nobody's going to know when the rapture is. The Bible is written in such a way that you'll know when it happens. But you're not going to know when it's going to happen, though. Until it does happen, then you'll know, of course. Because Satan don't have a clue. That's why that is. And yet everybody, humans, think they can figure it out. They can write books about it. And they can predict it. And when it goes by, oops, I made a mistake, y'all. You know, that's what they do. I don't know why. If they don't know, man, don't predict. I guess they're taking that chance that maybe I'd be a great person if I predict it and look, oh, Joe Blow figured it out. Wow, you're a great guy. Give him the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, when it happens, he won't be having a reward dinner. I'll tell you that right now. Well, family, I'm going to let y'all know that, we're coming to a close, and it is the weekend. Y'all have a safe weekend. My broadcasts are played up in three states randomly, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, at highpointradio.net. John Kirkler plays it on his network. Sponsors he has, you can find out who they are in one of those three states, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. My broadcast is also played nationwide, or worldwide, actually. And I have a website, watchmanforjesus.com, and a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. And family, this is what I do. I never thought in a million years I'd be a broadcaster. And being a broadcaster, I never thought in a million years I'd be talking about God as much as I do. And people that know me, well, never guessed that either. So let me tell you. It'd be the last thing they would have guessed. We're all sinners, I guess. We're all sinners. Sometimes it takes others a little bit longer. It took me a long time to come around. But family is real. It's very real. And it's just a matter of patience, caring about other people, not yourself. I was in the stage of caring for myself and not other people. Selfish, in other words, I was. But now I'm dedicated to Jesus Christ, go figure. And helping other people by studying, researching, head knowledge and spiritual knowledge. And it's a matter of choice, not a matter of doing things better than others. It's just a matter of taking that choice. Holy Spirit will open up the way. We're coming down to it, though, family. We're coming to it. You say, well, you should spend your life doing some other things. Enjoy life. But I'm finding it all bogus. I mean, I'd like to. But to me, it's bogus. I've been everywhere. You watch TV. I mean, I like background noise when I'm working sometimes. But it's all scripted. You know in 1 hour the hero's going to win. You know that this person's kidnapped on one of these police shows. They're going to find him in about, I'd say about another 10 minutes. You know. It's not real life. You see. It's all fantasy. Sports come, they go, they win, they lose. Next game, next year, same thing. Yeah, I'm starting to see all this. And then you realize, what am I here for? What am I here for in the first place? To worship the Lord. Help other people. That's what it involves. And telling the truth is the most rewarding thing you can imagine. It's a freedom. And I've experienced both sides. It's a freedom, man. You can't just give up. There's no way. No way. You go into bondage the first lie you tell. You're in bondage. Boom. Immediately. Just like that. When you tell a lie, it nags at you. Always nags at you. So you got to figure something out to alleviate that nagging. So you justify it. You go do something that takes your mind off of it, but still there. Then somebody asks you a question relative to that lie you told, and you like choke up. Don't you think that shows in your eyes? Shows in your actions? Yeah, it does. Oh, the CIA, they practice tapping their foot to get through a lie detector, and there's certain tricks you're aware of that lie indicators, micro expressions of your body, you practice. I was working in the Congo, and I'll finish here, but I was working in the Congo, and I was working with one of the NPRI guys, I ain't going to say who, but we're talking about the New World Order and telling the truth and all that, and I said, but you got to tell the truth, you got to da-da-da this and something else. I said, I forgot what it was exactly. I said, "There's lying, don't get it." And we're talking from political intelligence point of view. He said, "Ha!" He said, "You'd never make a good CIA agent." I said, "You know," I said, "you're exactly right. I'd make a terrible one." He looked at me like, you actually admit you'd be something bad? I said, "Yeah, be a real bad one. Because I'd tell no more lies than told my quota." He actually admitted it. Said, "You'd never make a good agent." I said, "I know. I can't go lie." You know? So now if you make your promise not to lie, then that means you got to walk a straight and narrow. Yeah. You're not alone. God sees everything you do. Well, family, y'all have a good weekend. And I told you about John Kirkler and my website, watchmanforjesus.com. Watchmanforjesus.com, my Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. And let's close in prayer. And we'll see y'all next week, 4 to 6. Got a lot to cover next week. Some new stuff. Mixed with old stuff, put in perspective. Okay. Lord, thank you tonight. We come together in the name of your Son, Jesus. We pray. We lift up to you, Lord, this network we have. Father, the worship we give and the praise. We call upon you, Lord, to give us the Holy Spirit inside of us. Guide us, direct us. We pray for our families, that can be extended out, Lord, to bring them to repentance, Lord, by your divine intervention, divine appointments. Lord, if it's one, two, or three, whatever it takes. The Lord, we know that day is coming, the day of the Lord, to get us through it. Point us the right direction. Convict us, we fall away. We pray for those experiencing these heartbreaks of losing children and being attacked, families to be given comfort. These days of increasing evil. And to bring out your watchman, Lord, and the anointing in your time. And all these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, we're going to close. Whoa. We're going to close here shortly, like right now. And y'all have a good night. You have a good weekend, great weekend. And we'll see y'all next week at 4 o'clock. So y'all have a good night, and God bless you. It's your watchman, Thomas Gamble, and I'm signing off. Where
You're my refuge in the storm.